You're listening to Wins Above Fantasy, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network with Van Burnett and Steve Gisuelli.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Wins Above Fantasy, episode 190. I'm Van Burnett, joined as always by Steve Gisuelli. Steve, here we are, Thursday, August 21st on the podcast, and my home league season is officially over, and we'll just rip the Band-Aid on that. Missed the playoffs in a heartbreak, and the irony that tonight's show, I get to relive all those great feelings because we're talking about head-to-head playoff primer, tips and tricks and all the best practices that we do. Great rundown. Open topic, a little more of the consultation side of Wins Above Fantasy, but we've got some actionable stuff at the end as well that you threw in here on targeting some pitchers against soft lineups. It's going to be a great show. I'm at peace with my grieving process because at least I thought at the time when I lost by barely an inch on five different categories and just missed out on getting to the playoffs. We had like a four horse race for the last one. I thought my team didn't have enough juice to go on and make noise in the playoffs. But of course, like I was telling you off air, 3 days in, I would have been batting like 400 this week with 10 steals. So, it's always a bitter pill, but it just wasn't my year. Spencer Strider, I'll just never look at the guy the same in the draft room, at least. But enough about me and my home league. It's going to be a great show. How's it going out there?
It's good. It's the last week of my regular season, so we trail 1 week behind you. I don't want to, rub salt in the wound or anything. I do have a playoff spot clinch, but I also feel like my team, when I won last year from basically June on, was like, rolling. This year it's been exactly the opposite. Like once the calendar turns to June, my team is just, you generally have a sense of teams that are rolling well in head-to-head or in roto, right? That
yep.
you know, like
the arrow is pointing up, or it's pointing down.
And there's like, not even how the standings go, but you just have and only fantasy players can understand this feeling. You have a general underlying sense of how your team is doing and whether they're truly capable of winning it at all.
Correct.
This team this year for me is, I have the opposite of that feeling I had last year. Like I almost am ready to, never look at this team again. I know that's an insult thing to that to someone who, puts their heart and soul into this and just was eliminated by a half game and would trade to be in my spot in a second. So I understand that. Yeah. And also it goes against the exact premise of this show and spirit of this show in that, you only need to win by one category.
And it's 1 week at a time, man.
Yeah.
And let me be a lesson for your spirits right now that it really can flip. It's like the guys that I've been kind of griping about all season, like a Brian Reynolds, like they can finally turn it on and it seems like they'll never get into a groove. And then it's like, oh man, all of a sudden, Sandy Alcantara was one of my pickups. Yeah. Suddenly he looks like an ace. Like it really can happen once you get into the playoffs. Anything can happen. And then it's also, a little bit of it is that luck of will that happen at the right time. But there is a good piece of the pie chart that is managerial, right? And trying to get an edge, which is the whole name of the game. So
yeah, and I know that there are head-to-head detractors and there are warts to it, but there is an awesome part of it, at least in my opinion, of managing, and there is nothing like managing in the playoffs. Like it is an intense grind. Like, at least me, the way I do it, and we'll get about it in detail, just writing out like and planning every single matchup and every single at bat and knowing exactly what pitchers are going when. There is the part of the reason why we play this game is, we're not good enough to play in the real world. And, only the select few, 25,000 players have ever played in the Major League Baseball are able to do that. But it's to give us a taste of of that action and getting involved and, you know, being some sort of manager that has an impact and control of destiny and ability to impact your results, right? So like to like have an extra start and you know, plan a perfect stream in a matchup that swings it one way or another, there's no better feeling than that. That's why we play these silly little games that are fantasy sports. So you know, it's exciting. It's one of my favorite aspects of it. It's why I prefer head-to-head, and I know that's sort of a probably a hot take in the fantasy community, maybe, at least in baseball.
For the purists, but I that's one thing I'm never going to budge on either, Steve.
Yeah, we really agree on that, you know, there's not going to be an argument here between us, but, you know, it's a great time of year, as much as, like, you know, personally, and I don't want to talk about my team too much, but as much as I'm feeling frustrated about my team, like, the second that playoff matchup is on, like, the juices are going to get flowing, you know, planning out matchups, everything like that, to try and just survive in advance is, there's nothing like it. It's super, yep, super fun.
Yeah, no, and totally fair game. I think for both yours and sadly mine, this is the type of show where I think for us to pull in the real world examples kind of takes it from theory to application. So yeah, by all means, we can get into it, but I mean, Steve, the rundown is a little bit looser. I know we got some topics. The way I had kind of structured my thoughts is around studying and studying or knowing, but it really does start, in my opinion, with your league, and you have to know your league up and down. We say it all the time for drafts as well, but then I think playoffs is critical, and knowing your league, you know, not only applies to the minutiae of the rules of your league, you know, can you, if you've got kind of unlimited ads throughout the playoffs, can you possibly churn to win volume? Can you stash guys in your IL slots going into playoffs? So things like that, but also knowing how your league operates in terms of, you know, will a guy be on the waiver wire that you can drop, and you're not worried about dropping him and re-adding him next week. So I think knowing your league is a big one, but I loved where you started out with this on knowing or trying to win the matchup right in front of you, because I got through all of my tactics and it's like 20 bullets long. And then the last thing I said is, God willing, think ahead to your advantages for next week if you can. But that is a giant if that we rarely have the luxury of actually putting into practice of, like, oh, it's Saturday, why don't I add a pitcher that's a two-start pitcher for next week? So talk to me about that idea of kind of winning the matchup in front of you.
Yeah, like, all during the season, at least in my league, we have like 8 ads a week. If I'm making ads on Sunday for like an at bat for someone that for a hitter, that's someone that's resting, I'll make sure that, you know, it's someone that has a game on a light Tuesday or on a light Thursday, right? To try and squeeze more juice out of that specific ad so that, you know, you have an extra 4 or 5 at bats on a light hitting day, or, you know, add a pitcher on a Wednesday, right? To try and lock in a 2-start week for the next week, like target that day to stream. That sort of goes out the window in head-to-head in playoffs. And right, also, like, you know, when you're in regular season, like, you're adding with the intention of holding on to someone, right?
Upside,
It's like, okay, yeah, this guy is starting to heat up. Like, maybe I'll hold on to him. Like, that can go out the window in playoffs. Like, sure, yeah, you want to look for, like, a miracle run of, like, I don't know, you know, what was that, like Tommy Edman a few years ago, right? In like 2019 in September, right? Or like an Aristides Aquino in August, and, you know, get a guy that could go on a miracle run. But that's an absolute long shot for that to happen. You really just have to use it one at a time, especially in limited ad weeks. And even in ones where you have unlimited, maybe, you know, you can be just more aggressive and churn each day, right?
Yeah.
So that's the sort of thing, like, everything becomes super, super short term. I think is it's and it's a hard switch to turn off, right? Because
big time.
Baseball, we talk about this grind and how it wears you down and how you need to be patient all year, and then it's like all of a sudden, okay, no, that doesn't apply anymore.
Couple of examples that came to mind for me is like last week, and it was effectively playoff play-in game because like from fifth place to eighth place and our top six make the playoffs, it was separated by like one category. Mm-hmm. So we were all joking that it was our playoff play-in. And Wilson Contreras went on the day-to-day for like one day. And I just was looking at how tight my categories were. I think it was on Wednesday or the Thursday ahead of the weekend. And I was like, yep, normally I would not drop him for JT Realmuto, who was out on the wire. And I was like, but Realmuto has a Thursday game. This is a no-brainer for me. Like, yeah. Didn't even think twice about it. It was like, thanks for the shift, Contreras. I'm a Cards fan. I had you all season. You were solid enough, but we're moving on. Same with some of the tougher pitching drops. I mean, I know, like, Shane Boz started slipping, but like if we had 2 months left, I might be like, man, there's so much talent with Boz. I might want to see it
out.
Does
he have
like
road starts coming up away from, you know,
yep,
the Big Stein or whatever, you know?
Exactly. Couldn't do it. Couldn't hold on to Andy Páez. He's tailor made for my league settings. His league rank was still in like the 80s. And I was like, hey, past 5-6 weeks, you're batting 180. Gotta go.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. And another thing that you mentioned there that was kind of scattered in my notes is I do think there is something to looking at your path to winning, because you do have to win. You're right that you do have to win the matchup right in front of you. But if you're like me, it's also what's it going to take to actually win the league as well? Like it's, when you brought up kind of the lightning in a bottle type of guys, that is something that kind of factors in. And in years past, it was more like, I don't know, like a Mackenzie Gore. Or this year for me, in a way, it was Sandy Alcantara, where it was like day to day, I don't know that this is this most stable pick I could need, but my pitching staff was kind of in shambles. And
what
it was
needs
like,
to go right for you to win?
To actually win.
You have to answer that question.
So you have to evaluate, do I need an oatmeal-y guy to just take me from being like a 230 batting average a week up to 245? Or am I trying to just push the chips in and say, I'm gonna get a super volatile home run guy or like a Kyle Manzardo to just see if I can get one of those four homer weeks? So some of that depends on your opponent, your team. And I know that kind of segues into one of the topics you were going to talk about, which is kind of knowing your team's strengths, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's important. And like you can have I know a lot of sites, I think Yahoo does it. I know Fantrax does it. Like it tells you your record in categories throughout the year. Like, right, if you've had 23 weeks in your regular season, you could have went, you know, 11-11-1 in saves, and right, or you could have been like 17-3-3 or something like that. You know, when you won the category 17 times, won it three, lost it three times, tied it three times, whatever it is, and you'll know what you're strong in, and you think that that's something that you could guarantee, right? Like you may have three closers, you're going up a team against 1.5, right? But all that takes is like a Monday and Tuesday of your opponent getting three or four saves somehow and you getting none, and your whole plan is flipped on your head. Right. So like,
right.
I wouldn't necessarily like drop your closers in that situation, but you almost have to have contingency plans because you know, in such short samples. And then I guess this is, you know, that's why there are detractors of this setting. A lot can happen and a lot can go wrong. You can get unlucky in a lot of the ways, but if you're able to adapt and sort of adjust those quickly, maybe you're able to salvage a 6-6 week and you have a tiebreaker over your opponent or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So like, yes, it's important to know where you're probably going to win, but I would also have, you know, plans A, B, and C in case things go wrong, and you know, maybe you focus on trying to you know, if you do have four closers, right, and they're down three saves on Thursday or Wednesday or Thursday, maybe you do want to think about getting extra starters, right? Because you're probably going against someone that, if they only had one or two closers, has more starters, right, and can volume you that way. And you may need to try and win a battle that you weren't expected to win, like volume wise, right? That's hurt me in matchups plenty of times before, where it's like, okay, you know, this is I have so many stolen base guys, like this is a, you know, a no brainer. You know, this person was third to last in the league in steals, and like sometimes it just doesn't work out like that. So to be able to adjust to things that don't go your way is something that's easier said than done, but needs to be in the back of your mind, I think.
Yeah, it is. And I think the way you put it, and for this is on like just on steroids in my league, because we have like 18 total categories. So there's a lot of different ways, you know, we have like triples as a category. We have, you know, walks, we have offensive strikeouts. So this starts to get into permutations, basically, where the comment you brought up of, in a way, playing chess and decision trees. I know we've talked about that for like drafts, where it's like, if this happens, then this. And as rudimentary as it sounds, fire up the note app on your phone and say, if walks is out of reach by Thursday, or you know, if I have a five steal lead on Thursday and I'm down one homer, yeah, maybe you can drop Chandler Simpson, who you normally would not drop, and say, I'm gonna gamble that I've got speed locked up, but I need to go add, you know, a power platoon bat to try to swing homers because of some splits this weekend. So, yeah, I think it all kind of culminates, and there's no way that you can keep track of it if you're not writing down your notes. And to your point that you had in the rundown, is some of that is knowing who is droppable on your team. And it there's a fine line. I mean, it's, you still, especially in early weeks of playoffs, have to leave yourself a fighting chance of turning around and winning the weeks if you advance. But I really do think, I mean, what would you say, Steve? It's like outside of your core kind of fantasy stud all-stars, I think even your, like, certainly your C-plus, B-minus players are able to be dropped, right? It's just outside of, like, your top six bats and top four or five pitchers, I think anyone's on the table in a way.
I think so. Basically every pitcher in my mind would be droppable in a way. Like if there's someone that doesn't have a start, and you know, even he's your best pitcher, if you need a start on Sunday, right? What are you going to do? Are you going to drop a struggling hitter, or are you going to drop a guy that, you know, may not make another start for you, right? So I think it's much easier with pitchers, even with like the elite of the elite. You know, sure, maybe not a top 10 guy, but you know,
sure,
a guy that is an SP2 or SP3 even, that's not guaranteed to make a start. Like if your life is on the line, you got to do it.
Hopefully you have a better option, yes, to drop, but yes. I know what you're saying. There's no, yeah, point of holding on to someone when there will be nothing to hold on to,
yeah,
in the next playoff week.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of me is always like in the back of my head, like, oh, what if X team adds them and goes on? Like, it's like, well, you know what? That doesn't matter. Like, you need to figure out how you are going to win. You know, like slumping hitters, like, okay, Kyle Tucker, we literally just had breaking news, right? He's sitting for a day. There was just news that came out that he had in June, he re-injured his finger injury that originally he hurt, has a hairline fracture, right?
Mm-hmm.
If this week was a playoff week, okay, let's say you had Kyle Tucker in your playoff matchup this week. Right. And obviously this was a caveat that we should have said in the beginning of the show. This is for not keepers. This is strictly redraft, you know, nothing else.
Yeah.
You have Kyle Tucker on your team. You made the playoffs. And it was announced that he's sitting the first three games of the week. I'm not holding on to him.
I don't know if you can.
I don't think, you can.
Or what if it happens on a Wednesday or Thursday, right? And they say,
yeah, I know this was probably a bit extreme because it was like Monday through Wednesday that he sat. But
point taken, though, that you would never normally think about that remotely. No. And you wouldn't get, it's understandable to make moves that drastic. It's just, I mean, it's bold. You got to assess what your cushion is, right? What your, do you have the luxury of having bench bats, things like that. And that's probably a good thing we got to talk about too. Cause I think the pitching, there's a little bit of chess on the hitting side, but pitching is definitely the chess match. And I think there is a scenario where you could get out of the Tucker drop. So we'll tease that. We're going to come back to it, but we're going to take our first ad break and we'll be right back after this. So Steve, follow me here, but I like the Tucker example in a real time practice. And what I was going to say is the chess match of pitching is really, it is the volume churn versus pristine ratios. Mm-hmm. And keeping it, you know, walking the tightrope is really what that is. Cause there's something about the relief, and I'll tell you, it's been terrible. I've been playing this ruthless game of, oh great, I got a 9 ERA by Tuesday. Here's grace where the rest of the week I can just plug in a guy. It doesn't matter if,
yeah,
you know, he's at the Brewers and I just picked him up yesterday and I know he's going to get a loss. He's going to give me some more innings, strikeouts, and a snowball's chance of getting a win. If you're in that position, it's hard to go with Tucker. However, if you're Monday and Tuesday, you get an ace-like performance out of a Sandy Alcantara and a Christopher Sanchez, and you look up and you're like, all right, I've got some closers on my roster. I got a sub-2 ERA. In my league, we have losses and home runs allowed, so it's like those are negative stats. Mm-hmm. Then you're playing this tightrope game of like, I've got to get to my minimum innings pitch, but starting Friday, I might just bench out the rest of my starting pitchers. And if you're playing that way, I think that's when you can actually say, well, then I don't need Jack Flaherty sitting on the mm-hmm. bottom of my bench. Like mm-hmm. I can drop him and stomach the Kyle Tucker day to day or whatever it is. So yeah, that chess match is very tricky on the pitching side. And you have to watch not only what your opponent's doing, but even the cadence of your starts versus your opponents, right? Because that's another part of the chess move is like, well, let's see if he rolls this guy out at Boston. If he gets rocked, then I don't need to start this next guy. So it's like, and the same thing comes into play when you're on the weekends, right? Like that's one of the best feelings when you see that you've got basically the last word on the matchup with like two guys going at 7 p.m. on Sunday Night Baseball mm-hmm. versus the other guy whose games end at 3 o'clock. Cause then you're like, oh, well I could push for average and homers, or I could bench him out to protect ratios. So yeah, that part is very cool too, but curious for your team and your philosophy, like how you handle that pitching dilemma of volume versus ratios.
I think this is the most important tip that I've learned over the years of doing head-to-head playoff matchups. There is nothing more important than literally on whatever, the notes app, Excel, paper, pen and paper. I do it on pen and paper a lot. Then writing out the starts that you have and the starts that your opponent has well ahead of your matchup, right? Like you probably know who you're going to face if you're, you know, a week ahead of time, right? To know and plan ahead, like before your matchup starts, use the last few weeks of your regular season ads to add a starter or two if you know you're going to be down a start. You know, add your two start pitchers then ahead of time. Add a guy on Wednesday if you want someone for the next week, even that you like their start on Wednesday. Knowing what starts you have, how many you have versus your opponent is key. It really tells you everything that you need to do for the week. Like if you're outnumbered and just by the luck of the draw are down 13-8 on starts, like, okay, yeah, you're probably going to need to pick and choose those starts and go for ratios because you're not going to get the innings pitch, wins, whatever other categories. You know, you'll try to avoid the losses if losses are a category or, you know, a negative category against. That is absolutely key to having a shot every single week. Like, if you know that and have that advantage, like,
it's your compass
for the whole week. Yes, it is your guide for everything that you want to do. You can plan out, okay, I'm going to use these two ads for hitters on days that I have light hitting, and do it for hitters too. Like, you know, look at the Tuesdays and Thursdays of the week and see, you know, how many at-bats you have. Like, that could massively either basically give you a chance or no chance at all at hitting categories with volume-wise, right? You know, do you need to carry more bench hitters for the week? Like, are you going up against a team that has more bench hitters that fills in those spots? Like, that's what flips the matchups from, you know, a category loss in your favor to a category loss, like, against you. Like, there's nothing worse. I remember 2 or 3 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, it was the year that Trey Turner first signed with the Phillies, and my team, like, snuck into the playoffs. And Trey Turner was rough all year, and then he went absolutely insane, right, and carried me to the playoffs and carried me in the playoffs. I'll never forget, I lost, like, by whip category by, like, one out, right? Like, it was a Carlos Rodon start in San Francisco. He, if he came out at 5 2/3, I would have won. If he got the six, the you know, and there was, like, two runners on, and you know, it was questionable if, like, it was a full count. Like, if you walked the guy, he was going to be done. He was over 100 pitches. If he got out, like, that's it. I lost. And I lost that. And, like, you just go back and play. What could I have done differently? And I think, like, from that moment on, not that I didn't pay attention to this before, but, like, I paid super, super close attention to every single possible, you know, there's nothing you can do about what the results are, right? Like, if a guy gets blown up, guy gets blown up. But if you have the at-bats and starts,
you control what you can control.
Control what you can control and give yourself a fighting chance that way. That is, you know, we're 30 minutes into the show. That's sort of my thesis and what I'll go to bat for as far as the biggest thing that you could do to gain an advantage in these playoff weeks.
Yeah, I think it's spot on that. I mean, it's true about the real game, but in fantasy, it's equally true that, like, it is a game of inches. And anybody who's had those bad beats knows, like, it might not seem critical on Wednesday to drop a guy that you normally wouldn't drop to get those extra four at bats on Thursday until you lose by one, you know,
hit
on batting average. Yeah. And you're like, and it'll kill you, too, when you look at the it's like the fantasy gods have a way. I mean, I can tell you firsthand. A week and a half ago, so the week before my final week where it was already starting, we knew it was going to be a grind. Mm-hmm. I was down, like, one or two singles, and I looked at the on the Wednesday night, and I said, okay, who's going Thursday? Jacob Marcy and the Pirates had a game too, and I was like, man, Nick Gonzalez is hitting for average like crazy. Marcy didn't really hit for average in the minors. I went with Gonzalez, and Jacob Marcy's been like the number one player in fantasy for the next like 2 weeks, and I'm like, oh, that kills you. But it's kind of a process versus results thing, because at that time I was really just thinking
for a single. You wanted a few
hits. I need a single. I need a few hits, and either one of them were a suitable replacement, even though it sounds crazy, for Andy Páez, because I needed those extra ABs. So I think that's spot on, Steve, and I think writing it out is key, or keeping track in your phone, because your manager is going to make tweaks your opponent, and you
every
head to head
matchup
those.
I'll write out. I know the websites do a great job, and you could see like the starts of the week and everything, but just writing it out and looking and counting how many you have of each, just is simple, but in my mind, invaluable advice.
I think so. And to go with that, on knowing not only your opponent's strengths and weaknesses versus your strength and weaknesses, looking at your opponent's volume versus your volume, but then there's also the crystal ball part of it, which is hard. But one of my best friends, especially between like a Wednesday, Thursday through Sunday, is getting very frequent with MLB.com/probable pitchers yeah. and actually understanding, you know, especially when it comes to ratios or for my home league, like home runs allowed, it's also who are they up against? You know what I mean? Like if this offense gets to their pitcher, they might only last three innings. So, oh, maybe I'm not out of the volume race. And then that goes for ads as well. I mean, you can do a lot worse than picking up like a Toby if they got a very favorable matchup, and then you just figure it out next week when, you know, they're at the Phillies or something. So, I think all those things are notable. Like that, the way I was breaking that out and my thoughts on all this was, it was like, you know, study your league as it relates to categories. That should be kind of a no-brainer. It's more of a beginner tip, but study your team's strengths, like we talked about. Study your opponent, and then study the real sport as well. Who has easy matchups in the next week? Who has Thursday games? What are the probable pitchers? And then even down to like looking at splits, like that is a very real baseball thing that, to your point, Steve, where you can pretend that you're a manager making tough calls. It's like, who are your platoon guys where you're like, oh man, I really like this hitter. They've been great for me all season, but you know, they bat 190 against lefties. Do I really want to roll with them throughout the weekend, or do I want to go add Kyle Manzardo because, you know, he's about to mash this weekend. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just more thoughts there, but talk to me about some of the tools that you like to use or reference points other than, like you said, kind of your homework notes on your opponent and the volume and everything. Like, what other tools do you like to be looking at throughout the week?
Yeah, not to be a homebody fanboy, but Pitcherless really does have the full list of full suite of options, that everything mm-hmm. that you need to get through this. Every Tuesday they do an expected schedule article. It's amazing. It's detailed. It has rankings versus what offenses you want to target, everything that you need to plan well ahead as far as expected schedules. I know a lot of places have them too. You know, you said MLB.com, I know Fangraphs does it too, but there's some more detail and obviously fantasy focused on the pitcher list sure. side, rather than just like a list of who's starting. You know, there's detail about what offenses are going, who's on the road, things like that, tiers mm-hmm. that are broken down into that detail that are super, super helpful. Something that I read every day, part of my routine, is just Nick's starting pitchers ranks. And there's always great streamers in there. That along with when you get PL Pro, the PL bot is an amazing program that our boy Kyle Bland is behind, that takes PL Pro projections and spits out a streamer of the day. And here's an amazing fact. Nick and PL bot pick a streamer every day, and they sort of have, you know, a competition. And they based on who they pick, they're granted a win or loss, and how Nick treats a win is this start useful in a 12 team league. And his sort of barometer for that is a win, you know, not an actual win in baseball, like a win for their streaming pick, is 5 innings pitch with a sub-1 whip, minimum 5 innings pitch, and about a strikeout per inning. So relatively mm-hmm. high standards. And I think the roster percentage is under 20%. I could be wrong there, but it's low rostered guys that should be available in 12 teams league. So that, a pretty high standard, a pretty low roster rate. Both PL bot and Nick are 92-42 on the season. Do you know how good that is? If like that's just one of your starters on your team, like mm-hmm. I know, and not to get into the whole why we sort of fade pitching and why, you know, I tend not to invest in aces. And I know that's easier said than done. It's cherry picking and, you know, Nick is the best at what he does for a reason, and a bot is a bot, and there's going to be unique circumstances across leagues, and leagues may be deeper, and these guys may not be available, and you can't do it every single day. Sure, I get it. There's a million caveats to it. But to have that, that is doable, essentially, right? You're not going to get 100% of that, but if you get the 80th percentile of those results, that's really good. So basically, like, if you plan out your week and just plan to stream the PO bot pick every day, you're going to do pretty good.
Right.
There's that ability,
and they're guys that are widely available.
Yeah,
like,
that's why they're streaming picks.
Yeah,
you got
Jack Perkins on the pitchers tomorrow list. Yeah. That it's like, it's not a plus one, but it's still projected as passable if you're like chasing volume. And yeah, I think those are great thoughts on like the tools, the different things that you're looking at. How do you handle, I guess, back to our earlier topic of matchup, this week's matchup versus next week's matchup? Are you really going until Sunday afternoon before you start looking ahead? Or, like, where's the threshold on kind of investing assets this week toward next week's matchup? How comfortable do you need to be?
Trying not to, like, touch the money, like... You know, you could tell when you have X amount of categories locked up to win a week, and you can start making moves. I really don't want to start making moves until like Friday the earliest, just because so much can change over the weekend. Like, I'll start making moves for the next week, like Saturday or Sunday, if things are in the bag. Obviously Sunday for sure. You'll probably know most of your fate by then, but earliest is Friday potentially. But even then you could start doing like ads for the weekend, like, you know, with next week in sight. Like, you know, a tiebreaker could be, okay, these are two streamers that I like, you know, but one has a better matchup next week. Okay, there you go. That's sort of as much as you could do. Even if you just give yourself a chance to hold someone, right? If they have a better matchup next week, you may not even want to use them. You may need to drop them the next day for something else, but that's the sort of logic that I would apply. But really, really not until like late in the weekend, to actually do an ad that's solely for the next matchup, right?
And then do you, in terms of your general style, if volume is tight on the pitching side, do you play it conservative? Like, I think on those Mondays are really the ones where you sweat the most. If it's like you got a questionable starting pitcher going before your opponent has pitchers and volume is a little up in the air, do you find yourself rolling people out there, or do you play it pretty safe? Like, is your default volume or ratios, or it really is tough to pin down?
My default is definitely volume. Like, okay. I want to make sure that I have, if not more, as many starts as my opponent, both for hitting and for pitching. I really, really, again, maybe that's more of like, you know, you can control what you can control. And like, I don't know. And my general output is like, I don't want to, like there's going to be blowups and the Bailey Ober thing that you have to deal with last year, right? And the game that was pouring rain and gave up 17 earned runs in the first inning, right?
Knocked me out my league on a Monday.
You have to deal with that when you start everyone, but that's always been sort of my default. And I think sort of just how I lean, because I don't have, you know, a team with Paul Skeens and Tariq Skubal, right, with pocket aces, right? That's just not how I'll be built. Where if you have a team like that, then you do want to focus maybe on less starts and protecting your ratios, right? So that's just how I lean and what I want to do. But I always want to have as many, if not more, starts than my opponent each week.
That makes sense. And I think that comes down to like knowing knowing your league in terms of not only the categories that you have, but also if you know that your opponents aren't the super aggressive listening to fantasy baseball podcast type of guys, you know, you can cook them on the volume game, as opposed to just rolling it out. And now as a commissioner, Steve, I know I've shared a little bit with you about how we've structured our league, but we're now in, next year will be year 25, which is crazy, but we have long since tried to neutralize some of those, like, volume, or like you said at the start of the show, of like dumb luck of your opponent has 13 starts and you only have 8 because that's the way it shook out. Just as a fun tidbit, I'm curious your thoughts on it, but the way we've structured it is, not only have we added some negative pitching categories such as home runs allowed, where the volume kind of factors in, but starting 2 years ago, we've added that a manual rule that if you have a 2-start pitcher, you're only allowed to choose their first or their second start. And so it has turned into this huge, and some managers, like 3 or 4 managers, are like, I absolutely hate this rule. It's not how we manage the entire season.
Is this every week or just in the playoffs?
No, just in the playoffs. The rules change. And you gotta choose your starts wisely. Now, there's still some teams that roll into playoffs with 4 relief pitchers and other ones that go in with no relief pitchers. So there can be a volume discrepancy, but there is no dumb luck allowed on who happens to be 2-start pitchers.
Yeah.
The other thing we do is minimum service time. So if you add a complete bum on Saturday to get a few extra innings on Sunday, you have to roster that guy for 10
days. How do you track these rules? Like, how do you track these roster restrictions?
Well, we have, if you have a roster illegal move, you get frozen for 10 days. So you can't make an add or a drop.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, is someone tracking every single add and saying, okay, you can't drop this, or is there like,
yeah, no. I got
to the system.
So over the years we've developed our watchdogs. So, you know, Gamba, who is Gamba, Chase, like there's 3 or 4 who take an immense amount of pride and they're not even the commissioner flagging that someone dropped a guy a half a day early. And then going into playoffs, it definitely stresses me out. Like, even though my team got bounced,
you gotta watch
as a commissioner. I'm sending daily, weekly reminders, and I'm like, the most important thing for any of you to remember is, if you have questions about the legality of a move, text me before you make it, because the worst thing we can do is find ourselves on a Sunday where someone like illegally recorded stats, but people care too much about their, like, it has yet to happen to date, but it's definitely a, you know, it's a looming nightmare. But I just wanted to share that with you, that we have different chess moves in play because of the fact that you can't add for volume.
And, you know, I guess overarching, like, that's why it's so important to know your league quirks and everything like that. Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that you guys could only choose 1 start. I mean, I get it. Like, right. Like, you know, what's there's no skill in someone just happen to have a start push back a day. And then therefore they have 3 2-star pitchers and, you know, you're automatically done there. I get it. But you know,
it makes the performance on the field mean a little bit more, and there's still some management, but listen, we have a year-end banquet where we argue about this stuff. But, yeah, just wanted to share that little tidbit. Okay, we got some actionable advice on the next segment here. We're going to be looking at some soft matchups, but we're going to take our second ad break. We'll be right back after this. All right, Steve. So I know we kind of mapped out some of the softer pitcher matchups, but is there anything else regarding strategy tips and tricks that you wanted to kind of throw out before we move on from that segment?
No, I don't think so. I think we hit on all of it, and there's a good amount of softer and high level analysis there. I think that
I think the only other thing that, and these sound like, you know, really rudimentary tips as well, but nothing is too extreme. Like, In the playoffs, I have set alarms on my phone at like 3 a.m.
Oh yeah, to I do it in regular season. Dude.
Be the quick, right? Yeah. To be the quickest one to to add a guy. Yeah. There's times where I've set daytime alarms on my phone to check a matchup and see if I need to bench a pitcher for that night. So,
notifications on for my league that. Every time there's a move made, like I'm notified of who was dropped and who was added. Like,
yeah, no, that hits my phone too. Yeah, I think that's valid, but it's, you know, now that we're in, you know, fatherhood and our 30s, I think some of our listeners might be like, you know, what do I, you know, how do you even manage that? And it's like, just know you're not alone. If you want to set that alarm or you want to put a alarm clock at 5:55 p.m. to see if you need to start that pitcher or not at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Go to those links. That's the last thing I'll say. Because
they come in more handy now. It's been significantly harder for me to manage this year as a father of two than a father of one last year with like a, you know, and last year when I had just a
toddler,
right?
Just a toddler. Yeah.
And now it's a newborn and a toddler. It's been a lot harder. So those reminders have, yeah, I missed more starts this year probably than my whole fantasy career before that, at least in my home league. Yeah. But yeah, the 3 a.m. alarm for waivers clearing and the ads resetting on Yahoo, on a Sunday night was a very, very common thing for me, even during regular season, more than I care to admit.
Hey, I would have taken one half category and I'd be in the playoffs. Yeah. So yeah, you're not wrong. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, talk to me about your lineup here, Steve. You're pretty much looking at soft opponents for pitchers, right?
Yeah. John PGH, I talked about him last year when we did the show. He has a great data set of basically a bunch of baseball data. He has a Substack that's definitely worth checking out. And also does for the people, he posts a bunch of automated tweets from that data each day. You know, just some interesting data and then some helpful schedules. He basically has, you know, a bot that tweets out on his Twitter page, starting pitching matchups the next 7 days versus like the worst offenses. So starting pitcher versus the White Sox, Angels, Pirates, and then Rockies on the road. And it's, you know, obviously what's on the tweet today is relevant, but you know, this will also come out next week, right? If your playoffs are starting then, so like you'll know in 7 days who's facing the Rockies on the road, like, right? Like this Braxton Ashcraft, who's looked pretty good and now is in the rotation, faces the Rockies on the 23rd. Like, I am super, super interested in that. Like, imagine having that as your Saturday start in a playoff matchup, right? You know, that's to me, that's an invaluable resource. And you know, you may not be able to pick those things up as plainly on those just plain schedule,
schedule
list. So it's a great tool. John does a great job and has a really, you know, great amount of data. And there's just a lot of interesting guys, like, you know, Hurston Waldrip today, like, was on this list for, you know, 7 days right prior to this. I know he's been pretty good recently too, but you know, he threw a gem today versus the White Sox, right? You know, you can just get ahead of your opponents by looking at this data. That, you know, every little thing. That's this is one of them. So it's a great follow and just a great data set to be cognizant of.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's John Anderson, John PGH, right?
Yeah, John. Anderson, yeah, yeah. John PGH. This is a Twitter handle. JONPGH.
Am I right in remember? Is this John Anderson? Isn't there a John Anderson with FanGraphs, or was with FanGraphs, or maybe I'm forgetting this?
Don't know off the bat.
There is, but this one's no H in the name. So maybe there's two John Anderson. Well,
could be. I mean, yeah. Probably the most common and first name, most common last name. So,
Yeah, yeah, fair play, fair play. No, that's great. So yeah, this rundown, you guys can go check it out. But it's got the White Sox against the Angels against Pitt and Rocky Road as well.
Yeah. And it's tweeted out every single day. So like, it's not just for, you know, just on Mondays or anything like that. Like you'll be able to look at it at any time to see when you want to make that ad for favorable matchups. I used it extensively during the playoffs last year, and mm-hmm. it's honestly something that should be used all the time, right? Like,
yeah,
if you basically just use your streamers off of that, you're probably gonna do pretty good too.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. One thing that I do a little bit more in playoffs as just a general tool is rather than sorting by like last 14 days or last 30 days or anything, is even doing the projected like next 7 days just to start and say, they got this guy projected for 3.5 steals. Like, why is that? And it's like factored in, right?
Razzball has a great tool. It's a paid tool. I think PLBot has it too, but just like hitters matchups for the week. And it just, you could just sort by like dollars. Like, okay, this guy's projected for, you know, X amount of points compared to other people. And like, you know, it's doing the work for you in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's just taking the volume and the projections and converting it to a dollar. You know, you probably do pretty well with that if you're just streaming hitters based on that too, right? Definitely, like I'm a victim of this all the time, right? Like I always look at last 14, last 7, you know, who's hot. Oh, this is great. You don't get those last 14 days of value, right? Yeah, sure. It may tell you that Jacob Marcy's been great, and he has been. And he could very well and should probably is a very good ad, but it's probably more helpful to add the guy who has more projected value, right? I know that you're sort of trusting the machine and analytics and things like that, and results do matter, and hot streaks are a thing in baseball, but you know, you wanna get that future value, and those hitter planners do a great job of guiding you the right way to do that. It is an underutilized tool. Like, you know, I think of the Streaminator and PLBot all the time for pitchers. I don't think of it as much for hitters, and probably should use it more. And it's definitely helpful in your head to head matchups.
Yep. And the PLBot. Projection sheet, you can just go sort by tomorrow, day after tomorrow, sort it by stolen bases.
And they have a weekly hitters.
I don't know if the weekly one is just fixed for that full week, right? Yeah. I don't know that they do like a rest of week thing.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, invaluable tool. So yeah, that is all around nice organic plug for PL Pro.
There you go.
That's pretty much the rundown. Yeah. I don't know that we need the entirety of the hour, Steve, but any other final tips? Otherwise, tell me how playoffs is looking for you. You said you're already kind of
I'm basically locked into the third spot, which is annoying because first two seeds get a bye. I was in first or second basically until, you know, mid-June, late early July, maybe up until the All-Star break when I lost that stranglehold on second. So we'll definitely have to battle my way, you know, the 3-6 in our league, and you need to win 3 weeks rather than just the two if you have the bye. I was in third last year though when I won, so but obviously I felt much more stronger about my team last year. I don't know, maybe if
three's a good number,
if Tatis remembers how to hit home run again and gets on a, you know, I don't know, finishes somehow with 25 homers when he's been sitting on 17 basically for what seems like since the All-Star break. Who knows, crazier things have happened, right? So we'll see. And it's funny, like I'm starting to feel a little bit better about my hitting. You know, guys like, you know, George Springer's been a great ad for me. Gunnar Henderson starting to pick it up. Karen Carpenter has been great. Stauer has been awesome, but is on the IL, and who knows? Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be back this year. It sounded like it might be a little bit longer than you hope, but now my pitching is starting to fade a little bit. Like, honestly, my best pitcher of the last few weeks has been Trevor Rogers, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Like, Yuri's kind of running out of steam a little bit here the last few starts. DeGrom had the fatigue and a start miss. Mizorowski's been rough since coming back, including today. So, I don't know. But who knows? You know, maybe I'll be able to stream my way to some good matchups there. But we'll see. It's exciting.
Yeah, you'll be better suited for your league than my league settings in terms of you can play the volume game.
That's
good. Yeah. Before we sign off to end my commiseration here, I told you I lost a half category behind one of our perennial winners in our league and then loyal WAF listener TJ. And I got to share because TJ's team name is Comeback Tomy. A lot of he had a merger. He's got a co-manager, but he does about 90% of the managing. This is how he finished out, Steven. He edged me out by a half game. 4 weeks ago, he won 16-2.
Okay.
Then he won 13-5, had an 8-9 loss. And in the last week to edge me out by a half game, won 15-3. So the comeback vibes for Mr. Tom Joseph, who has never won our league in its 24-year history. He is riding a wave right now. So yeah, I am pulling for TJ.
Is he winning his first week playoff matchup?
He is down 10-6, but it's razor thin on a lot of categories. So we're all pulling for him. So yeah, had to shout him out because it's part of my misery, but also one of our best listeners in the WAF nation. So yeah, but that's a great show, man. Great tips. Good luck to you in the last week and the start of next week. I know we'll be back on next week and throughout September. Just keeping up. If you guys are still joining us, if you have any players, any topics you guys want us to hit on, fire away on Twitter or on the email. You guys can email whenever, winsabovefantasy@gmail.com. I'm at @van_verified. Steve is at @stav8818. But that's episode 190, talking the head-to-head playoff primer. Thanks for talking baseball with us, guys.
Fantasy baseball is not for the faint of heart.
Oh, that hit in my soul, Steve. That hit in my soul. Signing off. Thanks for talking about my misery.
Later, guys.